Ladies, I tell you what, that song has been a tremendous blessing to me many times in my life, you know, and I have maybe felt anxious or gone through struggles, and we've got a friend that's right there, and we can take it. Do you know that God never intended for us, his people, he never intended us to carry and bear the burden and load of the weight of, whether it's our sin and the world, on our shoulders. He never intended that. He came, and first of all, he went to the cross to bear that load of the sin, but then he lives to continue to bear the load of burden on his shoulders, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. And I want to encourage you, as they sang, you know what? You don't have to live anxiously. You don't have to live so carefully. You don't have to live so burdened down with the weight of things on your shoulders. I know some of you carry that. Some of you, I shouldn't say just looking at you, but I know you carry a weight, and it's bothering you. You struggle, I've said it many times before, but Jesus came to bear that load, friend. He came to bear that burden. Cast it upon him. Why? Because he came. He cares for you. He came to be that load-bearing person for you. And so I want to encourage you to cast your care upon him. Cast your anxiety upon him. All right. We are about ready to start a journey, and I hope that you're not getting tired of the illustration. I think as we prepare, the better prepared a group is before an excursion, the better the excursion is going to go. I believe that. Have you ever done excursions without much preparation? And what happens as you start the excursion, you start to think, oh, I wish I'd have brought this, or why did we go up this way? Why didn't we go the other way? Or why I wasn't prepared. I had no idea that it was going to be this difficult. Oh, why is this so elementary? I would have picked something bigger than this. But either way, when we're not prepared, we're not fit for the task at hand. And this year, in our theme, we are endeavoring to study and understand God's love, which is vast. Honestly, folks, whoever I was telling this week, to me, the theme of this year is overwhelming as a pastor, because I have less than, at this point in time, 52 weeks to, and less than that, because we take time out doing different things, you know, at Easter and other times. And no doubt God's going to lay other messages on my heart that really don't have a lot to do with God's love, for sure. And so I have a very shortened time to try to help you, for all of us to discover God's amazing and vast love that he has to us. Not only do we need to discover for ourselves God's love to us, but then learn to accept that love on a daily basis. But then thirdly, and one of the main points, is to then live it out so that God can be discovered to the world that, at face value, God is very unseen. We know that God has given the world and us, he's given us his general creation, his way of revealing self generally. It doesn't take us a hard look out in creation to see that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. All you have to do is go out, and you can go to the barren deserts of Arizona and Wyoming, and you can be in the lush mountains of Pennsylvania where all you can see is green. And everywhere you go, it shouts out God's glory. It does. And anybody that doesn't see it has on purpose stuck their heads in the sand or in the dark dirt of Pennsylvania. We have chosen to say no to it. But for a person that's wanting to discover truth, all you have to do is go out and look. And it's everywhere you go, generally, very specifically. We know that the word, that God is there because we have seen, we've been given his word to us. Maybe I should go back and say we've been given Christ to us. And of course, to see Jesus was to see the Father. Jesus himself said that, and so very specially the world was introduced to who God the Father was through looking at Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ, the game changer in the entire world. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ is the pinnacle of history. Everything, you know, in the world revolves around him. And I'll tell you what, when he came at that perfect time, and it was a perfect time, by the way, even if you study history and everything that led up to it, Jesus came at a perfect time to change, if I can say it this way, the game, to change everything involved. And Jesus went, and he went to the cross and he died. And I'll tell you what, he did change the world. It's just that people change accordingly to their own desires. Some reject and some accept, and there are those people in the middle that are trying both. But Jesus changed everything. Jesus was a manifestation of God the Father in the flesh. Well, I shouldn't say a manifestation. He was God the Father in the flesh. He was the Son of God in the flesh. So God revealed himself very specially through the person of Jesus Christ. And then I can even say, and I'm not a heretic in saying this, he even made it more complete by giving us the Word. And the Word of God self-declares a more sure Word. The point is not saying that this is better than the person of Jesus. The way this has everlasting effects in not just history, but in the future, is more than what a person living on the earth for 33 years could ever do. Because it's a very living Word. And by the way, Jesus was the living Word. So this is just practical for us as he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. But really, we have the Word right with us every single day to just go over and to study and understand. And so very specially, God has given himself, God has given us a picture and a photo of who he is. But I submit to you that in 1 John chapter 4, we understand that there's a very practical side of all of this, and that is Christ living his life through the church. God living his life through us. As we love one another, then his love is perfected or completed. It's the closest thing that the world is going to see that demonstrates God, more than the trees and the flowers, more than even the person of Jesus Christ, because they don't have him to see. It's going to be, it's taking the words in Scripture and making them alive, a visible demonstration of what this book is saying. That's our task for this year. And so as we look at that, we're ready to climb. As you see the picture in front of us, we're ready to begin. We're at the very bottom, and it looks beautiful, and it looks fun, maybe to some. But at the same time, it's a daunting task, because for me to lead this church up those mountains is absolutely huge. But I've got safety in this. And here's my safety, and this is what I present to you. Because the safety is we all, even though I'm kind of leading this endeavor on your level, we have a tour guide that is going to lead us on this amazing trip that is tested, tried, and true. The best tour guide that there could ever be. Now, before we get into the passage, have you ever been on a trip that's had a guide? I've been on trips that have had guides, and I've had good ones and I've had bad ones. There have been guides that honestly look like they're doing it just to put in their time and get their paycheck. There's not a lot of insight. They don't give us a lot of background. They don't point anything out. They don't do anything. It's almost like, hey, you know, behind their hood, you know, I'm here if you need me. I'm your guide for the day. Just let me know and I'll be here, but I'm going to sit over here and let you go through it. What kind of a guide is that? You know, and I don't have any confidence in them. They don't give me any assurance that they know what they're talking about. They don't seem like, you ask them a question, they say, you know what, I don't know about that. You're going to have to ask somebody else. You know, I've had guides like that that really didn't amount to anything. And I say, why are we paying this guide? Probably they were free, but they were a guide that didn't do a very good job. And there was no credibility to what they did. And they proved it when they did it. But I will tell you that I've had other guides that were absolutely phenomenal. It's like, what? This is amazing. Having this guide go through this place, this historic site, to take me through and to give me something far deeper. And I had confidence with them because of their reputation. So many things that when I went through it, I could trust what they told me. And I knew that I was getting the absolute very best guide that I could get at that point in time. You probably understand with me concerning that. Take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 4. This is not the passage we're going to end up with this morning, but I just want to read this verse. Of course, it's up here on the wall up here. But 1 John chapter 4 is our theme verse for this year. It's not a theme verse for a whole church, but for this year. No man, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. We understand that God is a spirit, and we cannot see him in that sense. But he says, and he's getting right to the practical here. He doesn't mention, of course, the general revelation and the special revelation that we went through. But he says very practically, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So he's given he says, I know that mankind cannot see God, but let me give you a very practical way for them to see God. I'm going to give my love. God has given his love to us, and he is in us. And his love is then made visible, made seen through the lives of these people. And so he gives us that, and we are to give that to the world. And so there's the picture that we're going to go through. This is the mountain that we're going to climb. We're ready to go up that. But before we go, and by the way, again, a good tour guide is very important. And on this journey, a good tour guide is going to be extremely important, because I'm just going to tell everybody here this morning, I am not the tour guide at all. In fact, I absolutely need the tour guide myself, because when I look at that mountain as well, when I look at the love of God, I say, how in the world is it even possible for me to lead our church to discover this year so that on December 31st, we would all be able to say, wow, God has amazing love to us, and it has made a major impact on my life, but yet it doesn't end there. It is making a major impact where I go. And the lives that I am able to reach, because God's love is being lived out through me. Folks, I want to tell you, that's what I believe would be a measure of success as we go through that way, that God's word. God never meant his word just to be looked at and read and never done anything with. God wants his word to be lived out and practiced, because it's the living word. And so that is what we want. We want something accomplished this year through this passage, through this theme, through God's perfect love and us reflecting that. So it's very important. But I have a question before we really get started this morning. I have a question to you. Who is, not only for this journey as we discover God's love, but I ask you the question, who is the guide in your life? Who is the one that you're turning to? I'm not necessarily talking about their ability. I'm asking, who are you turning to guide you? Could you make a wrong choice with a guide that you hire? What's the answer? Yeah, in life. I'm talking about anything, okay? Maybe you're thinking too hard. In anything that you do, let's say that you want to explore the Grand Canyon and there's guides out there, would it do you good to try to do some research to get the right guide to help you discover the amazing and magnificent creation of that canyon? What do you think? Absolutely. Because again, you could get good, you could get bad. It's very important. My friend, can I tell you, it's very important who you are looking to be the guide of your life. And I'll tell you, there are guides everywhere. There's a dime a dozen of guides that are waiting out there. And I'll tell you what, some of them work very cheap. Very cheap. Doesn't cost much to get some guides. In fact, some of them give it absolutely for free. But it's important that we hire the right guide. My friends, I want to tell you, I'm not the guide this morning, but God is the guide. I want us this morning, as we get ready to go, you say, Pastor, why can't we just get into the law? I think it's important that we look to the guide, because when we recognize halfway through it, we recognize, wait a second, our guide has led us here. I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit into where we're going to go, but I'll tell you what, there are times when you're going to be right up halfway up the mountain and you're going to say, why in the world am I here? Because this isn't right and this is the wrong way. Who led us here? We've got to establish and understand on the outset that we've got the best guide that we can get. Okay, that's why we're going to take the time to go through this guide. Now with me, can you turn to Psalm chapter 48? Psalm chapter 48, please turn there. A tremendous passage that God has given, and I'll tell you, He guided me to this passage. Why? Because God is the perfect guide. But He did. I had no idea where to go this week. I honestly was very lost. I said, Lord, how are we going to get started? I had gone to a certain path and that proved to be wrong. I went to another place and I thought maybe this, and it proved to be wrong. I can't remember if it was finally on Thursday or whatever it was, and I was saying, God, I need your wisdom and direction. I need to know where to go with this. And God then led me to this passage, and I am so blessed. Because again, it wasn't me. It was like the first leading of our trip. And you will benefit, but I benefited first. And so Psalm chapter 48 is a tremendous passage. Now, let me go ahead and read it. It's only 14 verses. I want to read through it, give you a touch background, and then I want to dive through it. Wow, our time is, isn't that a time amazing? It is a blessing and it's an enemy at the same time. But Psalm chapter 48, let's just jump right into it. This is a song and psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, and they passed by together, and they saw it, and so marveled, and they were troubled, and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go around about her. Tell of the towers thereof. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. God, would you please help us this morning to discover that you are the right guide for this trip. For the trip not just to discover your love, but to discover our lives in you, Lord, as we live. So God, would you help us now? Would you give me the words that you want me to say? In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. This passage is possibly, and only presented as a possibility, from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're not going to go there this morning, but take the opportunity. We have King Jehoshaphat that is there, and he's leading his people there in Jerusalem. And he is there, and the armies are coming in. And I think there's two or three enemies that are coming and out against. You say, this could be a number of any. We don't know, and we don't know for sure. But you read the story of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to ask you to do that another time. Go to 2 Chronicles 20 and see what you think. I don't know. Others do. I was reading Spurgeon as of course, his treasury of scripture knowledge. Or no, what is it? Is that what it's called? Spurgeon's on the Psalms. What are we? But his treasuries there that he has, he is one of the great ones. If you ever study the Psalms, Spurgeon is probably one of the top men on Psalms. But anyways, I was reading some of his, and he was presenting that some of his thoughts were that it could possibly be from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But here we have Jehoshaphat, and remember, the enemies came. He was feared. He was panicked almost, and he did the right thing. He went to the Lord and he said, God, what am I going to do? And do you know what God did? God led him to victory over these three kings. And guess what? Those three enemies, they trembled, they feared, and they were destroyed. And you read it, see what you think, and it doesn't really matter what the story is from. That's a thought that Spurgeon had, and I tend to agree with him. So anyway, that's this passage, but I think more importantly, what does it say? Now, this passage is painting a picture, kind of Jerusalem in the city and the location, the situation of Jerusalem, and how there was a blessed place, and I have the tremendous opportunity and privilege to see it with my own eyes in about a month and a half or 2 months. And I'm so grateful for that. It's going to be one of the greatest things that I could ever do on this earth, is to go and to see not only Jerusalem, but the rest of the Holy Land as much as we can see in 10 days. But I'm so excited about that. But I can't wait to be able to, I'll tell you what, I believe it's going to make a difference in what I would give to you right now if I had already been there. Because I'm going to be able to give you firsthand. I might be able to throw up some pictures on there and say, look at that. That is exactly what the psalmist is talking about. I can't do it yet, but hopefully I will be able to, Lord willing. This psalm, David is painting a picture of who, of this wonderful city that is there and how they're situated so beautifully. But I'll tell you, it's more than a beautiful city that's there. It's the king that sits on the throne in this beautiful city that makes this place such a wonderful place. And that's really what David is getting at here. So I want you to notice the king that is here. And in context of where we're going, I want you to understand the guide of this psalm. Psalm chapter 48, the guide. He is our guide to the people of Jerusalem. He was a guide to his people of Israel. But he is also a guide to his sons, which, praise the Lord, that we should be called the sons of God. Those that believe on his name. And so if you're here this morning and you believe on his name, he is your father. He is your king as well. And this is our guide through life. I asked you the question, who is your guide going through life? Who is our guide going through this wonderful tour that we're about to take of God's love? I want you to see, we're going to do a quick run through of Psalm 48 and point out some great qualities that help us to pick God to be our guide for this trip. Number one, you see in verse 1, there it is, right away in the first thing, great is the Lord. Now we take that very simply put. Why do we got to make a point on that one? Great is the Lord. We all know he's great. What does that mean that God is great? When you look up that word great, you'll understand that great can be in size, but it can be in intensity, but it can be also of importance. Great, important is this one. Distinguished is another word. Distinguished is this one. I want to tell you something. When I look for a tour guide for something, I want somebody that is distinguished. I want something that is important, somebody that is important, somebody that has proven themselves. Can I tell you that God is a great God? God is a great God. He is great in size and importance. He's distinguished. I'll tell you what, there are poor examples even of the use of the word great. Poor examples. Somebody might indicate that a certain sports coach is great, but I'll tell you, that is not, that he only is great in a certain aspect. He might be great in this area, but every human falls short of even the definition of greatness. Because greatness itself is vast and all-encompassing. That's the word great. There is no end. There is no quantity. There is no level of at the top. God defines the top because he is great. A person that is great, we might call this individual great, but yet they might be great in an area, but they have their shortcomings. They have their ends. They have their faults. They have their flaws. My friend, can I tell you that the tour guide that is in consideration right now has no ends. He has no flaws. He is a great God. We don't have to be afraid of anything that he's going to lead us into because he is great. He is great. Psalm 145 and verse 3, I'll read it for you. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is, and I love this. Does anybody know what the word is? You might not know Psalm 145 and verse 3. Let me say it again. Test your verse skills. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I love that word. It's unsearchable. You can't get to the end. You can keep searching and keep searching. And I'll tell you what, the mountain that we just saw doesn't even do him justice. Because we can get to every point of that mountain if we took a long enough time. But my friends, we cannot get to the greatness of God ever in our lives. But I look forward to the day when He is going to be before me and I get to see my Savior Jesus face to face. And I'll tell you, if there was ever a time when we would have a full and complete picture, it would be then. I can't wait for that. But my friends, can I assure you that this tour guide has no limits. Because He is great. He is unsearchable. He is past finding out. Psalm 150 and verse 2, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. That word excellent is all excelling. There is no end. It's above and beyond anything that you can imagine. The word great doesn't even do it in our English language. Because it goes beyond. It goes beyond. First thing that we see is this tour guide. He is great. We continue on with this. Notice verse 2. Beautiful for situation. Now here we're talking about the city of Jerusalem. Beautiful for situation. That word situation is there. Is where it's sitting. Where it's located. And here, take a look at this situation that is given for Jerusalem. He says, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The second thing I want you to see is this tour guide, this proposed tour guide, he reigns in a wonderful place. My friend, I want to tell you, he reigns in a wonderful place. God has situated Himself. Here's what I want you to see. And I could go into this passage a little bit more. We have the mountains of Jerusalem. You understand that when you get to Jerusalem, you've got to go up, right? You've got to go up because Jerusalem is situated in the mountains. It was what a tremendous place for an army to be, but a tremendous place for a city to be because it was protected. It was lifted up. They could see what was coming. They had an edge because they were on top. There was a wonderful place. This city was situated perfectly, very physically. But can I tell you, I love the fact of studying God's place that He chose to reign from. And you know, according to those people that were His subjects, He chose to reign right there with them and close. He had set up for them a fortress, which we're going to see in just a little bit. But God had chose to situate Himself in very close and safe and providential proximity to His people. He says here in verse 2, He says, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. It's like everybody around Him is saying, hey, I'm thankful. This is where God dwells. My friend, can I tell you, we ought to be excited because this tour guide is not one that we're going to have to go out and look for. He's situated right with us. He is always there. He is at our side. He is at our place. He is right there situated with us in close proximity for when we have that question, when we need help, when we need answers. We've got a tour guide that we're discovering right now that is right there ready to help us with anything. My friends, can I tell you that our good God, our good guide in life is there and available ready. We are situated beautifully just like the city of Jerusalem. God has situated His church, His people right there in His presence in a wonderful and best perspective place that we could ever be at. My friend, if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior today, then I want to encourage you to think that way, that you've got a king and a guide that's right there, ready at anything that you need. He's available. He's available 24/7. He's right there to lead us and guide us. I tell you what, I love a guide that's great. I love a guide that has situated Himself in a wonderful place right in front of us, right there, right in proximity to give us and to supply us and to be close and to be safe in everything that we have. But yet we move on in verse 3. So we have a guide that is great. This guide rules and reigns in a wonderful place close to us. But number 3, we see in verse 3, He has a great reputation among His people, for God is known in her place, palaces, for a refuge. I love that. He is known in His palaces for a refuge. He has a great reputation right here among His people. I like to pick a guy that has a great reputation with the people that have been there. Can I tell you, friends, that God has a great reputation with the people that have been close to Him? You talk to anybody that has ever lived close to the Lord, and they will tell you about a great and wonderful God. No one has ever, anybody that has ever been close to God has never been disappointed with the way that God has led them and guided them and provided for them. if they have a right perspective. God never disappoints. God never leads to a wrong spot. God never gets us in a dangerous situation where we are in trouble. We are always protected. We are always helped. God has a great reputation. As we see a great reputation of strength, we could cross-reference verse 1 and we could see that He's a mighty God. It says, great is the Lord. That word greatness has to do with might. He's a strong Lord. Can I tell you and assure you that this tour guide that we're about ready to get for us to go on this on life's journey is a strong and mighty God? I want to tell you something. That is a tremendous guide for us. To know that He is almighty, that we don't have to be afraid of the bears and the lions and whatever might be out there on that dark mountain at the times when we are feeling like we're in trouble. Can I tell you that we have a guide that is able to overcome any one of those obstacles that it can be thrown us up this mountain? My friend, can I tell you, it's not just the mountain of God's love, it's everything in your life. We have a God that's mightier than all. He is one that is able to overcome anything. Can I tell you, it's not just a God or a guide of strength, it's a God of safety. Notice that there's a refuge for His people. There's a refuge that's there. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. I'll tell you, the word refuge means a lot because it tells me that there's a safe place and I can run to Him, and with God there's a safe place, but it tells me more than just a safe place. It tells me that it's a place of security for the afflicted and oppressed. That's what a refuge is. You know, it'd be interesting to have a guide that all he wanted to, and all of his subjects to take up the mountain were experts. I will only lead people with these credentials. They have to have this. They have to have done this. They have to have climbed all these other mountains. They have to have this. You know what? I want to tell you, for the most of us, that doesn't do us any good because we're not experts. My friend, I want to tell you something. I'm not an expert at going through life, and neither are you. But do you realize that our guide, He is one that He prizes Himself in, and He is one that loves and excels with the needy. He loves to take people in that can't do it. He doesn't care about what we've been through because He said, listen, you can be a novice and I'll lead you and I'll guide you. My friend, I want to tell you something. That's encouraging because that's a place where I can be. That's a place where we can be. God is a God. He's a guide for a He's a refuge for us. A refuge has the idea of people that are hurting, people that are struggling, people that are going through difficulties, people that are weak, people that are... Go to Psalm chapter 9 really quick. We referenced that song in last year's theme. But Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. And let's look at verses 9 and 10. I love this part about the Lord because, again, this guide is looking for people that don't know what they're doing, that just say, God, I'm weak. I can't do it. I'm not, I don't understand how to do it. I need somebody to lead and guide us. That's the one. He's the perfect guide for us because that's who He is. Psalm 9, 9 and 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And of course, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast forsaken them that seek thee. I love the prerequisites for this kind of people. We don't have to have a lot of credentials. We've got to be hurting people. We've got to be struggling people. We've got to be weak people. And this tour guide is saying, hey, I'm a refuge for the weak. All of you that don't know what you're doing, all of you that are scared, all of you that don't think that you're physically fit, all of you that don't have the right equipment, all of you that don't have, you know, if you feel absolutely inadequate to go up that mountain, come right here. My friends, I want to tell you something. That's encouraging. And that's the guy, if I can loosely say, I don't mean to be any disrespect, this is the guide. This is the guide that we're considering today. I want to tell you something. That encourages me, and that helps me. I praise the Lord for a guide that is looking to be a refuge. Our guide is not here for those who already know everything and are completely capable themselves. He's here for those who cannot. Guess what? That's me. Number 4. Let's look at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. I know there's a chunk of scripture here, but I'd say that not only he has an amazing reputation among his people, he has an amazing reputation. Oh, by the way, before I move off of that one, I just about did. It was about one word away. All you got to do is go back to people that have walked with the Lord and talk to them about their good guide. And I'll tell you what, every 10 times out of 10, they'll tell you that he was good to them. By the way, I want to encourage you to talk to people in life that have been with God, who have met with God, and they've hired God for their trip. And by the way, those people, you can tell, because they've met Jesus, they've made it to the top of the mountain, you can see it on their faces. You can see it in their walks. You can see it in their lives. Tell you what, get alone with them and talk with them and talk about and ask them how their guy did. And by the way, on the other side, for those of you who have walked with the Lord and God has made himself known to you and God has done amazing things and he's in his provisions and how he's protected and how he's got you through tough times, by the way, you ought to be telling other people about this guide because we want people to go with this guide and not the false guides that are out there. There's a lot of guides out there and they're pretty cheap that will take people on the journey and it's going to take them to the wrong place. Our world is being taught this very day something absolutely false about love. It is absolutely wrong. The whole world is talking about love, and they're wrong. What we've got to point them to is to the genuine refuge guide. He will tell us what love is. That's why I love this guide. That's why I love our God. What an amazing reputation that he has with his people. Those who I've dealt with him, but can I tell you, he has an amazing reputation in the world. Did you take note when we read through verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, the response when the people found out that this was their guide? Those kings came upon them, and what was their response when they saw the situation? Wow. For lo, the kings were assembled, and they passed by together. I could just see these three kings that were getting ready to go and to try to destroy Jehoshaphat and the people, and they saw it. And so they marveled, and they were troubled, and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Do you see that? Wow, a good God makes himself known. What a reputation. You know what? You know what? Why? Our world wants to get, why our country wants to get prayer out of school, why they want to get rid of God, eliminate God, because I'll tell you what, they're scared to death of him. They're scared to death of our God. If we can make God as a nobody, if we can pretend that he's not there, then we can do what we want to do. But in God's presence, they're scared to death. So do what we can to close down every religious thing, close down prayer, close down Bible reading, close down institutions, get people to not go to church, get people to not. If we can shut that down, then we've got them. I want to tell you something. They're scared to death of the Lord. They're scared to death. I'm so grateful that we've got a guy that has a reputation not only with his people, but other people know there he is. What a reputation. What a guide he is. We see at his sight, they trembled. And we see his victory in the end. Verse 7, thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Folks, I want to tell you, we have a victor. We have a victor, and he's already won. Do you realize that we're not waiting for Jesus to win out someday? He's already won. He's already won. That's the kind of tour guide that I want. He's already won. I love the fact with one word. You know, so many times Jesus gave us an example of God's power. With one word was spoken and the waves were calmed. With one word, he can do anything. With one word, God wins, my friends. I see in verse 8 something that I said in the beginning. He is tested, tried, and true. His reputation is true. We look at verse 8. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. Amen. He is what he says. He said it. This is, he's tested, tried, and true. There will be no failure. It is, it's who he is, and it's what he has done. Who he is and what he has done. He is the victory. He is the victor, and he has done it. He has won it. Folks, can I tell you, he won it on the cross. God has the victory. You know, as we're looking at this potential guide, I say what? Things are checking. Things are checking off here. This is the kind of guide that we want. This is the kind of God that we want. Notice in verses 9 and 10, it's getting better as we go. Getting better as we go. Number, verses 9 and 10. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. And then in verses 9 and 10. Again, notice, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. There's two things that were mentioned here. Verse 9 talks about his loving kindness. Verse 10 talks about his righteousness. We see that this guide is faithful concerning his love, and he is faithful concerning his righteousness. He leads us in unfailing love. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, Have I drawn thee? Can I tell you that the guide that we are looking at right now for this voyage is an all ever loving, kind guide? In other words, there's nothing that we can do on this journey that he's going to reject us. He's going to love us through it. You know, I guarantee, folks, I don't know about you, but I know, as we go through some of these things, there's probably going to be times where I stumble and fall. I guarantee there are going to be times where he's trying to lead through the trip and he's saying, everybody hear it. Where is that slowpoke Sean on this journey? We're going to have to, you know what? All through it. I guarantee there's going to be times where I could probably, if it would be a human leader, I could probably disappoint. I thought that he was a good hiker. I thought that he knew the outdoors. You know, he grew up in the mountains of Wyoming. What is this? But can I tell you something? That's not the guide. The guide that we have chosen is all loving kind. You know, when the rest of the group might be up this way and he sees me falling and I fell in the, you know, and got all my clothes dirty and we're going to have to wait because we've got to dry them out and we've got to do all this, you know, God is sitting there with me helping. He's caring and he's loving and he's gentle. My friends, I want to tell you, I wouldn't be able to handle a trip that there was a guide there that was cracking the whip and was like, come on, if you don't come, you're going to be left behind. It'd be discouraging. Friends, can I tell you that's not the guy that we're talking about? The guy that we're talking about is full of loving kindness and he's ready to wait there. And while as we fall, as we fail him, even when he has led and gone this way and he says, where's Sean? And I'm over on the other ridge. What is he? No. He'll come over with his patience and his kindness and say, Sean, hey, with a smile on his face, the rest of the crowd's over there. Let me help you. Let me help you go over there. Let me lift you up and pick you up. Jump on my back real quick. We'll get back. My friends, I want to tell you, that's the kind of guide that I would love to have. He's faithful with his loving kindness, and yet he's faithful with his righteousness. Can I tell you that this guide in consideration is faithful with his righteousness? Do you know what that means? That means he will never lead us on the wrong path. I wonder how many of us have ever been going up a mountain, got on the wrong path, got on the wrong trail, got on the wrong place and found ourselves in a new situation. How many of you maybe have been going with a guide and somebody leading you and say, this is not right. I don't recognize any of this. I know that we're wrong. This has got to be wrong. We're not. That's frustrating. Getting on the wrong path. And we've been going for miles and we recognize that we missed the fork in the road way back there. And that means we're going to have to go back. And can I tell you something? You never have to worry about being led the wrong path. Never, ever, ever. God will never lead us up the wrong path. Why? Because he is faithful in his righteousness. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of ways to go up those mountains. But we will not, with this guide, go up the wrong path. I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of assurance. That gives me a lot of hope and trust in this guide because I know that he's not going to get us on a sidetrack. He's going to take us on the right path. My friend, I want to tell you, do you realize if God is the guide of your life, he will never, ever, ever lead you in the wrong path? You say, Pastor, don't you understand what I'm going through right now? I've got health problems. I've got financial problems. I've got this. This is the wrong path. It's the perfect path because God is 100% faithful in his righteousness. God is right in all he does. I love a guide that will never lead us on the wrong path. His path will always be right. Always. Always. Unfailing righteousness. Look at verses 11 to 13. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let thy daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go around about her. Tell of the towers thereof. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces that ye may tell it to the generations following. Number 7, he desperately wants everybody to examine and testify of his person and work. You know, some people would be embarrassed to give out their credentials or whatever like that. He says, listen, everything's open. You look at everything that I've ever done. Examine it. You decide for yourself. And when you do, tell other people as well. Do you realize there's a confidence, not a pride, but a confidence in an almighty God that we have? David had that confidence. God has that confidence. My friend, I want to tell you, that's not something negative. That's something positive. I'm glad that God knows who He is. That sounds kind of crazy, but He knows. I am the guide that you need. Look at what I've done. Tell everybody about it. Share, see it for yourself. Who He is and what He's done again. And I love verse 8 to close everything up. Or number 8, last verse, verse 14 to close everything up. For this God. It's kind of like the very end. The presentation has been given. I've been given all the points. And now it's like, okay, here it is. Pick your guide. And he looks over here and he sees this guide over here. And I'm not trying to personify God as some measly human guide. But it's almost a presentation here. And he says, for this God. This God is our God forever and ever. And He will be our guide even unto death. I close by saying I love a God that is never, ever, ever going to give up. And He will always be there to continue to guide. Always. 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 When I have failed Him, when I've been weak, when I have done wrong, when I have been pressing the time forever, and I've been going on it for 80, 90 years, and He's still there to lead and guide. Because He doesn't give up and say, you know what? For the money, I've given you guys lots of time. I've got other guides. That's an amazing part of God's greatness, is because He has the ability to guide everybody through life on their pace at their time. Everyone. It's one-on-one. You know, you look at a teacher situation in school, and it might be one on 30. 1 on 10 sounds a lot better. 1 on 5. My friend, I want to tell you, this God is one-on-one for everything that you're going to go through. I don't know about you, but this is the kind of guy that I want to go on this journey with this year. Now, there's some practical things as we close that are going to help us with this. Number one, we need to trust God to be our guide. You know, we're going to have to, we all have a decision to make. Who am I going to look to for my guide? And everybody has a choice. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Joshua says, as for me and my house, there's my guide. We're going to serve the Lord. But my friend, you all have a choice. Who are you going to choose to trust? Who are you going to choose as your guide? There are some of you out here today that you're letting yourself be your own guide. Self-guide. I'm going to do it myself. Do it yourself, right? That's this world where we live in, a do-it-yourself world. Do it yourself. My friends, I want to tell you, you can do a lot of do-it-yourself things, but I don't encourage you to do it yourself on this trip. And I'm not just talking about the trip of discovering the love of God. I'm talking about the trip of life. I want to encourage you not to do it yourself, but you need to do it with a guide. It's dangerous out there. We have out west, out in Wyoming, we have wilderness area. That wilderness area for any out-of-stater is required to be with a guide. My friends, I want to tell you, there's a wilderness out there. And there's an evil one that is roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want to encourage you, you need a guide. Let God be your guide. Many of us have a decision to make. Who's going to be our guide? We need to trust the Lord to be our guide. Number two, we need to trust God to lead and guide and direct through the preaching and teaching of His Word. My friend, this is very practical. I want to tell you something. If you're going to let God, and I'm going to have to do this as well through knowing what to preach and teach, but on your end, what you're going to have to do is say, God, we're trusting You that what You're going to give us this year concerning this, we're going to let You lead and guide. That's an area of trust. It's an area of trust because, in a sense, you're trusting this. I'm going to have to be honest with the Lord, and I'm going to have to follow what the Lord leads. And I tell you what, I don't like it. Even this week, I was struggling. What am I going to give? But God was faithful, and you can be faithful with it as well. You can trust it. As I do my job, you do yours. God's going to do His job. Trust God to lead through this. We need to pray. We need to listen. We need to obey. And that brings us to the third thing. Trust God with the direction in which He will take us. That's confidence. Confidence with what He's given on a weekly basis. Obedience with what He's given. Let's do something about it. Fourthly, trust God for His results, our growth. We need to trust God that God's going to grow us this year, and we need to trust God that He's going to give us more fruit in the end from this. My friend, I'm calling us to trust God as we go through this trip. Father, would you help us as we go through this? God, we are asking you to be our guide. Corporately, we're asking you. Individually, Lord, I trust that these people will ask you, Savior, like a shepherd, would you lead us? Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. In his precious name we pray. Amen.